Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here this morning, isn't it? I just love getting up here and getting to see all the faces. It's the best part of my Sunday morning. And for those faces I haven't met yet, come talk to me after service. I want to get to know your story. Man, sometimes God just grips you, you know? And in those songs, it was gripping my heart. I was just sensing the presence of the Lord here this morning. And that can be overwhelming in a good way. To have so much of a good thing in your life. And this morning we're talking about the light that God shines in our lives. It's a powerful light. And I want that light for us. Not just me, not just you, but for our church, for our children. I heard a little girl singing one of the songs here this morning. It reminded me of my little girl in a couple years. I want her to be singing. I want her to find the light, to know how to live the good life that we have in Jesus. I want that. And the contrast of that is living in darkness and not knowing how to live. Being aimless with our life. And I had a moment this week where I kind of felt that, where I was in darkness. And we had a circuit breaker that tripped, and so there was just one little item that wasn't working, and we had to get out of the house within about 60 seconds to go to a dinner, and I thought, well, I'm Mr. Fix-It, here I go, and I flipped the switch down in the breaker box, and it required the master breaker to also flip, so okay, we'll do that. And it had some sort of metal guard on it, so I really had to yank it, which when I yanked it, it got caught behind a screw, and then all the power in the house went out, and I couldn't get it back on, and my wife is trying to get ready, and now she can't do what she's doing, and I'm in the basement with the door closed, and it felt really dark, because it was really dark. And so thankfully, I had my phone with me. The scripture we look at today, keep in mind, I know for the younger generation here, this will be shocking. They didn't have phones when they wrote the scripture we're looking at today, let alone have apps with a flashlight on the phone. So thankfully, I had my phone with. I took it out, finally got the thing yanked over 10 minutes later, and the thing I tried to fix still wasn't fixed. so anyways, I've got a professional coming out tomorrow. So and I feel like I'm going to get probably 10 suggestions after service for what to do next. But it's important to know what you're doing. It's important to have light to know what you're doing. And we don't start off in that position. We start off in darkness. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 5 today, and we're going to start us here in verse 6. And it's this idea of being in darkness. And sometimes we're in the dark and we feel like we know exactly what's going on, and we really don't. Just kind of how I felt like I knew exactly what I was doing, but I had very little clue. And so verse 6 says this, it says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Last week we talked about pulling weeds, and we looked at three or four examples. The beginning of Ephesians here shares a few more, and those sins include lying, anger, stealing, bitterness. It talks about bad speech. In chapter 5 here, it talks about sexual immorality and wasting time. And these are sins in our lives. These are signs of weeds, signs of darkness. And the verse continues saying, "For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him." Remember from last week, God is not tolerant of the weeds in our life because he loves us. He doesn't tolerate the things that hurt his children. And so therefore, the anger of God will fall on those things. And verse 7 says, "Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." And so we see this contrast of darkness and light. And the way that Ephesians has defined darkness so far for us, back in chapter 4, verse 17, it talks about the people's being hopelessly confused in how to live. And it coins that as darkness. And so if we flip that, the way Ephesians is defining this metaphor of light is that it means we know how to live. We know what the good life is and how to walk in that. I can't remember if I read this whole verse, so I'm going to read it again. So 8 talks about this darkness and light. And 9 says, "For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." Something that's amazing about the light, and I learned this when I was just graduated high school, is that light overcomes the darkness. When Christ is shining in our life, it has supreme authority. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." When the light shows up, the darkness has to flee. That is the power of the light that we're looking at today. And the example of this light is Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians 5:1 shares this example, that it's Jesus who is the light. Jesus is this example of the good life and how to live. It says in 5:1 and 2, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So today we're going to look for the light, and the direction we're going to look is in the direction of Christ, who's the source of this light. Jesus said in John 12:46, he says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." Jesus shows us a better way to live. In verse 10 of chapter 5, we'll continue. It says, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." So this is in reference to what is the light? What is the way to live? We're supposed to seek that out. Verse 15 through 17 continues this concept. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Back in 5, verse 6 says, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, who think that they're living the good life, even though they're in darkness." And here it says, "Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Verse 16, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." So this is how we're defining light, is understanding how to live your life. And as you think about the next 10 years of your life, the next 1 year, the next 1 minute, We all have a vision and a dream of what the good life is. Often in America, we call it the American dream. Yet there's a pastor named John Piper that my uncle has worked with at a fellow Converge church, and he wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life. He says the good life isn't chasing the American dream, collecting seashells on the seashore in retirement. God has so much better for us. And Christ is who we're looking towards as a church and in our lives to lead us. And where do you want us to go? How do you want us to live? And if he doesn't show up and shine the light, it's going to be like me in my basement yanking on a breaker box with no light. They're not going to come on unless Jesus shines his light. And when he does, the darkness flees. The concept in these next verses is about exposing the darkness. You do that not by taking a real good look at what's in the dark. You do that by shining the light, and that darkness is gone when you expose it. So verses 11 through 13 say, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. Where the light goes, the darkness has to flee. And the weeds in our lives, those sins, sometimes they block the light from getting to where the growth needs to happen. We got to pull those weeds, and we got to let the darkness be exposed to the light. And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we don't want to let our sins go. We're reliant on them for something. They're lying to us in some way, saying, you know what? If you're going to get through the day, you need this. John chapter 3, verses 19b through 21, Jesus is sharing that God's light came into the world. That's marvelous news. But people loved the darkness more than the light. That's sad. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for us. I don't want that for my daughter. I don't want that for this church. Continuing on, it says, for their actions were evil. Verse 20 of chapter 3 of John says, all who do evil hate the light. They refuse to go near it for fear. For fear. Don't let fear drive you, please. For fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right, they're the ones who come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And if you're here this morning, unless you're here for the coffee, I'm pretty sure you're here because you want to learn. You want to learn about doing what God wants in your life. You want the light. Otherwise, I don't know why you're sitting here. And so I'm assuming each of us yearns for that, knows that we need that. And we're going to find that because this next scripture is fantastic. Talks about what it means, looks like to come out of the darkness. It says in verse 14, for the light makes everything visible. And then it shares this song. This is a song that the early church made up, and he was quoting. A little bit why I titled the sermon, Rise and Shine and Give God the Glory. If you remember that song, well, here's a song that dates back further than that. It says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The reason I love this song, it's because it's talking about the breakthrough moment. Just like I was working on the breaker in my circuit breaker box, I needed a breakthrough. I needed that breaker to go. And And this is when the breaker gets back to its correct position. When we place ourselves in the appropriate relationship with the Son, we're going to thrive. And we each need that breakthrough moment. We all know what it's like to be in the dirt, down in the dumps. Like a seed buried beneath the soil, it's dark, and it's hard to know which direction to grow. We don't have much to go off of. We need that breakthrough moment where Christ pulls us to the surface to sense where the soil's a little warmer in our hearts. I think we start there. We don't always come to Christ right away. But what I call the wandering heart, feeling things out, trying to sense where there's life. And as we do that, God pulls us to the surface. And I think we can each remember, for those of us who've experienced the light, we each remember that moment where we break through the soil and we feel the light of Christ on us, sometimes for the very first time. I know the first time I felt that, I was 12 years old on a mission trip. And it was nighttime in the church parking lot. We were walking back to our dormitory. And after a week of worship, a week of fellowshipping with other Christians, a week of serving Him, living in the light, I felt the presence of God in my life. And I dropped to my knees. And I wept. I wept happy tears because I realized I found it. I realized I was alive. I realized I was going to grow, and I could grow the rest of my life. And I wrote in the back of my Bible, God is the fullness of life. I didn't want to forget that. I didn't want to forget what life was all about. I see people nodding their heads. Because you've had that moment in your life, right? That moment where you first felt the presence of God. When you knew that everything was going to be okay. No matter if the American dream came your way or not. No matter the twists or turns along the way. You knew that God was going to be a lamp unto your feet. You knew that you'd have the sunshine on your life. And you were going to grow in those moments. And the writer of this, the Apostle Paul, he had a moment where Christ shined his light on him. It's an amazing story. Believe it or not, Paul wasn't a Christian all the time. He's actually persecuting Christians. And as the story goes in the book of Acts, he was on his horse, traveling to Damascus, and Christ literally showed up and shined his light on him. And he didn't have a chance to tell his friends, hey, look, that's kind of cool over there. Look at that. No, when Christ shined his light on him, it knocked him off his horse. And it was something he'd never seen before. His eyes were so adjusted to the darkness that it literally left him blind. It is a powerful thing to come into the presence of an almighty God. Don't let us forget that. We're not just saying prayers, well-wishing. We're not just singing songs that sound pretty. We're not just hearing the latest TED Talk but we are hearing from an almighty God. We are praising a Christ who shines his light so powerfully. And we are praying to a God that can save, a God who can lead us in the way that we should go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it mentions the power of this God who spoke creation into existence. One of the first things he created was light. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? When you're afraid of the darkness, just remember that with a few words, God can say, "Let there be light." He can shine that light in your hearts. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 mentions that through Christ, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. So where are you today? Have you been transferred? Have you broke through the soil? Have you yet to feel the light of Christ shine on your life? If you haven't, I'm not here to blame you. I'm here to tell you, you don't know how good it could be. And I pray to God that he will open the eyes of your heart, that he will draw you to the surface of the soil and let you break through to see him. If you're on your high horse, going in the direction you shouldn't go, I hate to say it, but I kind of hope he knocks you off your horse. Because there's a better way to go. There's a better direction to live. There's a way you can go where you don't waste your life. God is faithful to lead his people when we look to him for light. He was faithful to the people of Israel. He led them by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire at night to light the way, to show them where to go next. And that's what we're trusting at Faith Baptist for God to do. In the next minute, in the next year, in the next 50 years, we're asking God, light the way, because we don't want to take our high horse any other direction. If you don't go with us, we don't want to go. So please, unite your hearts with me in that and with each other. Say, God, what do you want us to be? Where do you want us to go? What does the town of Hampton need out of Faith Baptist these next 50 years? I don't know that answer. But Jesus does. And his heart burns like a fire and shines with the brightest light you've ever seen or ever experienced for that. He wants to reach and save the lost. He doesn't want to make good, bad people a little better. He wants to make dead people alive. He wants to say, wake up, rise, rise from the dead, because I will give you light. I want you to grow. spent too much time in the dirt. Get out of there. It's a waste. It's a waste. Don't waste your life. The ending of the text today says this in verse 18 of chapter 5. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Sounds kind of a random piece of advice. It says, because that will ruin your life. The Greek uses a word, it's sometimes translated dissipation. The idea is, it's a waste of your life. Someone who's controlled with being drunk, it's a lot like living in darkness. You don't know what you're doing. Nothing good comes from it. Sometimes we can do what John Piper in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, warns against, which is indulge in luxury. We can take the fruit of what God has given us and the seeds, and we can smash it up and use it for something that God did not want. But the fruit and the seeds that God has produced here at this church, we're not going to just hang on that in luxury. That fruit is not for us to indulge in. That fruit is for us to put back into the ground. Say, God, it was yours. Where do you want us to invest it? What do you want us to do next? We don't want to waste it, and we don't want to hoard it to the point that it ruins our life. We don't want it to spoil us either, but we want to invest it where it belongs. And to do that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to direct our hearts, to shine its light and say, this is how you should live. This is what I want you to do next. And that is a daily thing. That is a moment-by-moment thing. That is the little conversations of the Lord saying, what should I say to this person right now? Or not say. Sometimes it's being Spirit-led to not say something. Because if you speak and God's not telling you what to speak, what are you doing? Sometimes we need to listen. And I'm not saying you have to hear an audible voice from God before you do anything. God did not waste his breath. The Bible you're holding is a thick thing. God has a lot to say, and he primarily instructs us through his word, and his Holy Spirit reminds us those things, teaches us how to apply those things in the messy darkness of life. As Ephesians will go on to share in the rest of 5 and 6, it starts sharing God's will for us in how we approach marriage, how we approach our children, how we approach our employment. There can be messy situations in those three things, can't they? You can probably always find a parenting book or a leadership book or a marriage book that gives you opposite perspectives, right? I remember when Elaine and I were first married, we'd look at each other and say, you're not what the book says. Yeah. It takes Holy Spirit-led direction to apply his word in our lives. And as we do that, verse 19 says, to do it with singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. As we do that, God's going to get the glory. He's going to get the praise. Just like the song, Arise, Shine, and Give God the Glory, Glory. He will get the praise. And these things will be overflowing out of us. Happy hearts sing songs like this. And we'll be in verse 20, we'll be giving thanks. It says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word for give thanks is pronounced Eucharist, which is what some churches call the Lord's Supper. It's named after that because when Jesus, on the night of Passover, the text says that he gave thanks and he broke the bread and poured the wine and he passed it out. We're to give thanks. So you might be saying today, Pastor Rob, sounds like a great motivational speech, but I got some real life to live here. You might think God doesn't understand the darkness you're in. He does. He entered into that darkness. The light came into the world. When Jesus broke the bread, he poured the wine at Passover. He said, "This is my body broken for you, and this is my blood shed for you." He did that on Passover night. There's no sun in the sky. And after that, Judas went off to betray him on a dark, dark night. And then Jesus stayed up all night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Tears mixed with blood. They were so intense. He knew what darkness was, and he knew the darkness he was entering into, so that you don't have to live in darkness anymore. And then as he hung on a cross, the sun no longer shed its light, and the world watched the light of the world fade away into an empty tomb. For 3 days, Jesus laid in the dirt, in soil that was dark and cold. So don't you tell me that God doesn't understand darkness and he doesn't understand what you're going through. Don't tell me that. Because you don't know God then. Sure, your image of God doesn't understand what you're going through. But the real God, the one whose eyes are on you right now, he knows what you're going through. He understands. He knows it's messy. And he knows a hopelessly confused person in darkness when he sees one. And he's ready to flip that breaker box on for you. He wants to shine his light. And he will shine his light for all eternity. What a great life. A life that's not wasted. To follow the light of Christ means not just this life, but you're following Christ in the good life forever. Because in heaven, there's no need for the sun. For God will be the light for his people, according to the scriptures. If the sun were to show up in heaven, we would have to adjust our eyes. It would appear as darkness to us. Think about that. The sun is nearly a billion miles wide of nuclear fusion reactions. God made that thing to put us into a little bit of perspective. He knew he'd be drawing on the sun as an analogy someday. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it has a beautiful image of the sun. It says, "For those who fear my name the Son, that's S-U-N, so the Son, the ball of fire, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That is Jesus rising to take his rightful place. And if we position ourselves accordingly to the Son, we're going to grow. We're going to feel his warmth. There'll be life. So are you getting any sunshine these days? You spending time with your Savior? Or does it feel like darkness from day to day? Kind of that wondering in the back of your head, of what am I doing? I think that's the human experience every day. And yet you can have the voice of God. You can have the light shine down on your heart. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, I'll be the last text for today, gives us a wake-up call. Verse 11, it says, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see." If our church does not do this, if we are not Spirit-led, if we do not let the light of Christ shine on our hearts and lead us in the way that we should go, then we're just playing a game. I don't want us to play church. Let's be church. Let's do church the way that Christ has called us to, so that the light will go where God wants it to go. This was a warning, actually, for the church in Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, Ephesus is one of the letters written. It's written to the church in Ephesus. And he says, I know your hard work and your patient endurance. You've been farming hard. God respected that. And he says, I have this against you. You're forsaking your love for God and for others. And he says, I will remove my lampstand from you among the churches. You might call yourself a church. You might be titled a nonprofit. You might have Sunday morning service. Doesn't matter. Does God consider us a church? Are we growing vertically in our love for him? Are we growing horizontally for our love for others? For this town? That is the direction that the light of Christ is shining. That's the direction I want to go. That's the direction I believe we are going. But we have to be getting enough sunshine. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we do that, we can walk on water, guys. Don't fear the waves. Don't fear the darkness. For where there's light, the darkness has to flee. So today we're giving thanks for the light. And if you haven't seen the light, you can right now, because Christ is shining. In a moment, we'll come up to the tables for communion. I gave you 7 days from last Sunday to think about the weeds in your life. Pull them up, put them on the crown of thorns where they belong, and let the light of Christ draw you out of the soil and raise you up into a life worth living. I'll ask worship team to come up. Prepare your hearts. Around the night that he was betrayed, Jesus gave thanks and he broke the bread. He said, "This is my body given for you." And he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which he shed on the cross for you." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that in the song we're about to sing, which talks about running out of time, the breach being too wide, there being a chasm and a great divide, I thank you, God, that you pulled us up out of the soil along with Christ so that we can live in the light. That is where our hearts are this morning, is a yearning for that. So shine, Jesus, shine. Shine in our hearts. Shine at Faith Baptist. Shine in this town and in this world, because we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.